Welcome back to Communicating, the podcast show that focuses on topics around the communication sector. I'm Kirk Evans, your host, and in this show today, we get to talk to two of my old friends, Peter Provost and Don Browning. We're going to learn a little bit about agile programming, agile methodologies, and we're also going to hear a little bit about things like test-driven development, tooling, and how those things factor into building an agile environment. Being able to say yes to your customers. I love this line. Listen for that explanation from Peter Provost. This is a great interview. I hope you'll stick around. One word of warning is that the audio on this is a little unbalanced. In fact, this is one of the first videos that I shot with my new camcorder, and I'm just getting used to how to balance the levels. You can see I've got Sony Vegas software in the background editing the audio levels. So I apologize for that, but please stick around. There's some great information in this. Let's take a look. I am out here at Turner Broadcasting in Atlanta, and we just had a really cool event, and we were able to bring the little rock star, Mr. Peter Provost, down to talk to everybody about agile development methodologies. And the cool thing is that Don is also doing a lot around agile and more feature-driven development, so I thought it would be interesting to get you two on camera for a couple minutes. See if there's any sparks or smoke or so Peter, real quick, you just give us a brief synopsis of what your talk was. I heard it was a great talk today.
Well, I just kind of spent a little bit of time talking about kind of the values and the principles that underlie kind of all the agile project management disciplines, and kind of tried to tie it all together and give people a way to think about it that allows them to be less afraid of going into an agile adoption and, you know, more confident about the things they need to pay attention to and not get hung up on the stuff that doesn't matter so much.
So, for us ignorant, what is agile? That's such a big term. Isn't that just test-driven development?
No, agile software development or agile project management is basically just a way of organizing your processes in such a way that it allows the team to be flexible as they execute on the project. In software development, that typically means you're going to be flexible to changing business needs and business requirements so that you can address – there's always changes that are happening. And in the past, we've seen development teams resist, say, no, that wasn't in the requirement spec. I need to change order, whatever it might be. Agile is about enabling the team to want to say yes, to like saying yes, so that we make sure that we end up building the best thing we can build.
So, Don, one of the cool things you talked about at the Architect Connections event about 2 years ago is how – y'all had changed your processes, and you weren't even really using Gantt charts anymore.
Yes, I think what we learned was, so we had a project that actually failed, right? So we had this project, and we kicked it off, and it was this waterfall thing, and it had all these, gets Gantt chart with all these tasks and stuff, and the thing went down in flames, and we're like, okay, so obviously that doesn't work. And so I think that it was the impetus for change around here. We said, there's got to be a better way, and I think that that's when we started grabbing a hold of some agile stuff and figuring out, like, which one of these agile processes we want to kind of align ourselves with. And you know, there's a ton of them out there, and so we just happen to pick one. And so we do feature-driven development, not by the book, but, you know, a flavor of it, and it kind of works for us.
Okay, so when people hear about agile, they usually think immediately stuff like test-driven development, paired programming. How much of that, Peter, you talk a bit about that, and we've seen the PMP workspace, which is just really cool. Y'all take that to like an obscene level.
We try. There's no doubt about it that pair programming and TDD can be hard to do, you know, 100% all the way for an entire project. It can be hard to do when you have a dispersed team that isn't all physically co-located. We have those great team rooms at PMP, and we love them. But, you know, we also use outsourced vendors for some of our work. And so when they're, you know, in India or Argentina or even elsewhere in the U.S., it can be difficult to pair program and to do TDD that way. But we still strive to do pair programming and TDD as much as we can. You know, TDD is a design methodology, and pair programming is a way of getting two people to work together and think about solving a problem. But Agile isn't about those. They're practices. In fact, they're practices older than the idea of Agile. All the stuff that's in Agile are common engineering software development practices that have been around forever. And we just try to bring them together in a way that enables that flexibility that I talked about before.
So like, the thing that like I always tell people is that like the developers always fight this whole notion of change, right? Mm-hmm. They're always battling this, like, you know, when the requirements change, they get all annoyed,
oh, yeah,
right? And so I think what we've done is we've said, look, you just have to accept that, right? Like, that's going to happen. And what we're
business changes, the market changes, your customers change, yes. Things change.
They're not going to wait 2 years for you to build a piece of software. Like, the business isn't going to go, okay, we're going to stay stagnant for 2 years. And so right. All we've done is we've just said, look, we're going to embrace change. And I think that really goes to the core of everything that that Agile is. It's just in knowing it, understanding it, it's going to happen, embrace it, and work with it.
Well, and make decisions as you're building the system so that when change comes, it's not painful. It's not something that creates fear. Something you can be confident about. Yep, I understand exactly how that change impacts the system. Let's go do it.
So a big part of that is not only just having process, but also having some tools. What kind of tools do y'all use at POP? Do y'all use, like, Team System, or what do y'all use?
Well, we use Visual Studio Team System. We use both NUnit and VSTS Test Runner because we have customers who prefer one over the other, so we actually use them both. Mm-hmm. We use some analysis tools. We use Ndepend. We use we actually use Cruise Control, although on Orcas now, we're going to be looking at using the team build that supports some of the some of the features and capabilities that we needed. We use some of the third-party refactoring tools to augment the refactoring that's already in the box of VSTS. So there's a whole suite of tools that we use. Of course, you know, we use automation. We use code generation. We use software factory things to do that kind of work. We use a lot of different stuff as we build our software, and, you know, ultimately everybody has to.
All right. And I'll edit this part.
Edit that part.
All right, so Don, one of the cool things that you talked about was as y'all went away from Gantt charts, but to still maintain, you talked about that y'all started using Team System and using some of the features in that.
Yeah.
Are y'all still using that? Or
We are. And I think that the one thing I try to tell people is, so what we did, and we kind of like brought this effort up, we wrote a lot of custom stuff.
Because y'all used to use Cruise Control a while back.
Yeah, and we actually still do. I think we're just now, like Peter said, we're just now kind of grabbing hold of Build in Orcas and going to go ahead and use CI Build in Orcas. But for the most part, like all of the reporting and everything that we measure progress on right now is done with reporting services in Excel. And it's all kind of back-ended from TFS. So, you know, devs have work items, devs have tasks they execute against. When they do work inside of TFS, they get a little bit of time, right? They close a work item and earn them a little bit of time. That little bit of time gets reflected in, you know, Excel spreadsheets and reporting services reports that kind of show how the project's progressing real time. And you know, it was important to us to stand up this kind of front web, this web page. You can go hit it at any point in the day and actually see the project progress increasing. And so what we're doing now is, I think, working on commoditizing those reports so we can take them from team to team.
Your Gantt charts will show you, you know, what the plan was at the beginning, and maybe where you think you are along that line. But actually tracking work items and what people are doing and what they've checked in and what they've said, yes, I'm done on, and what test is signed off on, that tells you where you really are, and as opposed to where you plan to be or where you thought you would be. Because what really matters, what the business stakeholders care about is, when do I get my software? I'm paying you, when do I get my software? And, you know, the Gantt chart, it can tell you a story, but it's not going to answer that question.
Very cool. Well, guys, thank you for...
Gantt chart lies.
Well, guys, thank you very much for taking a couple minutes out to talk. Thank you very much for having us out, Don.
Thank you.